Hi, I feel like a day now. It's me, Alan Smith, but we've booked listed as a day's paper on Monday, February the 12th. First things first, happy birthday to Ashley, my daughter. She's gallivanting just now in Portugal somewhere, and enjoying her birthday with her boyfriend Barnaby. So hope they're having a rare old time. But anyway, best wishes, Ashley, and hope you've had a rare day. Now, front page paper today is ex-council chief's windfall tax anger. So this is a former Labour leader at Aberdeen City Council has accused the party of trying to destroy the island gas industry with its windfall tax plans. The ex-Labour councillor, who quit the party last year over its energy strategy, said Sir Keir Starmer's proposal to raise the levy from 75 to 78% would spell economic gloom for the North East. Barney Crockett, Delta P&J, is dramatically terrible for this area, but it's also dramatically destructive for any plan for a low-carbon future. If you're going to have the investment that's required, then you're going to have to work with these companies and they work to destroy them, which is basically Labour's perspective at the moment. They're trying to destroy the oil and gas industry at a time when they need it to be a partner in energy transformation. This will be catastrophic for the area. Mr. Crockett also hit out at his ex-party for abandoning the North East entirely after ditching a £28 billion green spending pledge last week. He says they were promising that if you lose jobs offshore in the North East, you'll gain jobs in other places, and that's when they come up with this totally unrealistic figure. It does now beg questions. So, well, that's even the Labour supporters now are up in arms at them. At Sir Keir's plans, and Ken is near the most energetic kind of lads, but he does seem to say things and then change his mind a couple of weeks later. But anyway, I think we've seen what happens with the levy or the windfall tax on the oil companies. Just end up paying folk off, so the government maybe gets an extra £1 billion if ever, but it's jobs up here, it's paying for it, so this doesn't seem to be an easy solution to it. Now here's a story about the bit, as folks say, we couldn't wait, so we begin to worry in flood defences. So this is 8 years on, the destruction of Storm Frank still causes sleepless nights in Ballater. Whenever there's further word of adverse weather. Hunters for the Deeside village were left homeless amid the unprecedented flooding in 2015. Within hours, the Ballater Caravan Park and the golf course were all but destroyed, with vehicles, chunks of wood and debris sent floating down the River Dee. I guess somebody's a poet and doesn't know it, I think, you know. Vehicles, chunks of wood and debris floating down the River Dee. Anyway, despairing villagers had no choice but to flee, leaving precious belongings submerged in the murky water. The storm caused millions of pounds of damage and the lasting trauma. It took more than a year to pick up the pieces, and there are homes that have never recovered. And to this day, everybody's heart skips a beat when the river rises and forecasters issue weather warnings. A multi-million pound flood prevention scheme was formed for Ballater in 2019, but when and if it will come to fruition remains unclear. Tired of waiting, a group of determined locals took it upon themselves to protect their community. After 4 years of hard work and planning, there is hope on the horizon. Three of the Ballater volunteers lifted the lid on 4 years of toil to bring new flooding defences to the village. Neil Duncan, Richard Frimston and John Bannerman spoke days after yet another storm had battered Aberdeenshire. Neil said this area is usually the first swamped. This time around, however, Ballater has a new weapon in its arsenal. For the last 4 years, the trio have been working with a 20-strong team to protect people's homes. While they come from different backgrounds, the volunteers gradually became flood experts to come up with a solution. With a sense of achievement, Neil showed off the fruits of their labour, a sturdy bund, an embankment stretching nearly 500 feet being the river bank. So, well, good on him. That's, it's a bit of underneath a big blue plastic canvas and steens on the top to stop it blowing away, but you know, seems to have done the trick. It's kept the river at bay so far. So the, it says the £15,000 project was funded with donations for the Ballater Caravan Park and the Ballater Charitable Chiels, as well as a grant from the Mar Area Committee. Aberdeenshire Council supplied the boxes needed for the bond, while Balmoral Estate donated 150 tonnes of sand to fill them. So, well, good on them. It's, you know, for now the community's coming together and it's saving the village, because it was absolutely devastated. You know, Storm Franca, it was a big, big disaster up here. So, anyway, well done to us, lads. It's no time to hang about for the powers that be to get that thing rigged. Now, here is a perfect storm at Rex Harbour. It says the waves reaching 2 stories high have caused critical damage to Bodham Harbour. Part of the breakwater and harbour wall in the village near Peterhead have been fully destroyed. The pier has been undermined while a boat has crashed into another inn in the harbour area. Thankfully, there's no visiting boats in the harbour at the minute, or they too would have been at risk of being washed into the rising tide. The harbour is run by a community trust. Volunteer Harbour Master Rob Young is appealing to anybody with time to spare to help the immediate clear-up operation. Mr. Young, who has been at the helm since 2016, says it has been just storm after storm. That has left little time for the Harbour Trust to recover after Storm Babette in October. He said it was a full-on easterly with a high tide that has caused serious damage. There's nothing we could have done, it's just the weather. In Storm Babette, the pier was damaged and part of the breakwater was Tina Wa. Now the breakwater has been destroyed and the pier has been completely damaged. Debris has been washed up onto the concrete area. He continued, we need to help restore the breakwater for sea defences so we can stop the erosion of the harbour. So, well, that's up here. Maybe seeing the news that Stonehaven took a fair old battering and the waves are coming high over the dike, you know, and then, you know, there's just heaps and heaps of, well, shingle, like Steens, nothing's been, Stonehaven Harbour was all over on the path there, so, but, you know, I think only houses was flooded, so that's quite a good thing, but, you know, the council lads was out quick smart today, sweeping nothing up, and, you know, it seems to be not too bad, but, shows you how easy it can happen, how quick it can happen, and, you know, it's a shame for, like, Bodham, because if it's, it looks a hell of a red up, and if another rain comes, they'll be completely snookered. So, I think, honestly, since it started getting this storm's names, it's just been a disaster. Now, here's a story here. E-bike safety needs to be looked at in city centre. So, the Lord Provost of Aberdeen is calling for the bobbies to tackle illegal electric bikes and scooters tearing through the city centre. David Cameron told the P&J that it was an issue that needs to be looked at both in Aberdeen and nationally. Fears of the potential dangers of the electric mopeds in Aberdeen city centre nearly derailed plans for improved cycling infrastructure in Union Street. The concerns arose during talks on how radical road changes to make more space for cyclists could impact safety on the Granite Mile. Councillors last week voted through £100 million roadworks across the city centre, which include a segregated bike lane the length of the Granite Mile. But there were calls for the proposals to be scrapped about serious safety concerns. Councillor Marie Bolton was troubled by footage of bus islands in Manchester, which have zebra crossings to take pedestrians across the cycle lanes for the pavement. She said folk on the bikes weren't stopping at the marked crossings. And she said it would be better going with a central cycle lane rather than sandwiching it between public transport and the pavement. So this question was put to the Aberdeen Cycle Forum Chairman Gavin Clark, and he said, well, I'm not really sure. He'd have to defer the judgment to the professional designers and published standards. And they're just saying there's a big hoo-ha and there'll be heaps of electric scooters and a hanging zipping through Union Street, and you know, I don't like it, but I think it's just happening all right. So, and then I came for to lead to Stockholm, it would be, you know, I came for to go to just limit him to getting quite slow or something, maybe. And you know, so it's like a scooter, but it's not going to get you there off a quick, and certainly zipping about and a chance of knocking some mal creator like myself. hour in the, if I was trying to get across Union Street now. So, yeah, well, sort of between the bobbies and the council, they'll come up with something, and you know, we'll go just as well that there's no been on the accidents as yet, but I think why they're speaking is just a matter of time. So, yeah. I think a cycle lane is, we need to look at it again, and just have it blocked off at bit end so you can only get walkabout to that bit. I think that would be the best idea, but you know, for the Viking, I'm only a Joe Public. Now, here is a wee gym, it will be a game changer for kids. So, masterminds and a new soft play facility are vowing it will be a game changer for Aberdeen youngsters as they prepare to open on the city's Union Street. The wee gym will become the latest addition to the city centre, offering a new and exciting outlet for kids. Managers ahead of venture pledge the entertainment hub will redefine the leisure experience and encourage youngsters to be active through play. An official opening date has yet to be announced, however. Officials say the grand opening will be seen. In the post, published but on LinkedIn, staff vowed the centre will offer a unique and exhilarating experience. Well, they would say that, wouldn't they? We are excited to bring this to our Union Street. Aberdeen, get ready for a game changer. Imagine a space for fitness meets fun like never before. The wee gym promises to deliver this and more, making it an enticing addition to our vibrant city. So, featuring a junior area and a sports area, the wee gym will have a capacity for about 150 kids. Well, if I'm going near, anyway, near it, I'll need earmuffs, I think, because 150 squalling kids. The soft play gym will feature a basket battle, a crawl tube, sensory items, a slide, sky glides, a ball pool, and a ball blaster area. So, cheapest. No short of things for the little darlings today, and you know, I suppose if they're in here, they're not annoying me anyway, so that's quite a good thing. You know, just finish up with sport as normal, and the back page paper today is McKenzie sets leadership goal. So it says Aberdeen need more leaders on the pitch, warned defender Jack McKenzie. The Dons edge past league to Bonnyrigg Rose 2-0 at Pittodrie to reach the Scottish Cup quarter finals. McKenzie reckons it's time for players to step up to become leaders, like inspirational club captain Graham Shinney. He said, "We all need to be leaders on the pitch. Shinney is a leader on and off the pitch and is brilliant. But it's up to us to have even to have 7 or 8 players on the pitch. That's somewhere we need to improve." So, you know, it's just a natural thing, I think, for some of them, but maybe some of them will be a bit trickier. But anyway, you know, it's quite a... just did enough at the weekend to beat Bonnyrigg Rose, I think, and, you know, as long as they're through, that's the main thing. Big game now against Kilmarnock in the next round, so here's hoping they can beat him. McInnes, him with his tail between his legs. Fingers crossed, please. Anyway, you know, well done to Dons, and fingers crossed for getting through the next round. So, come on, everybody. And that's me done for the day. It's a wee puckly series of today's Prison Journal on Monday, 12th of February, 2024. And, well, kind of bright kind of day here, although it was very chilly, but the sun was certainly shining, and they said no rain on Hillicott, so definitely an improvement on if it was last week, that's for sure. So here's hoping that it'll bide for a wee while, and we'll just get a few degrees warmer as we go, because it's certainly quite nippy later in the afternoon. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to this podcast. Now, hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure and tell a pal. Let them know you can follow us on Spotify. They'll hear every episode when it comes down. And, you know, they can listen to other aliens if they've about, you know, 3-4 months solid listening and if nothing else to do. It'll certainly boost the numbers up a bit. In the meantime, thanks very much. Cheers now. Toodaloo.